It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Scheidel. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show last night. Hey, Thomas, how are you feeling on this sunny Sunday afternoon? It's not sunny, but it is Sunday afternoon.
Look, some things have happened. I think there's been some allegations about the, about the legitimacy and the general intentions behind a certain promoted festival. So I just have a statement that I want to read.
Please do.
We are working right now on getting everyone off the island safe. Mm-hmm. That is my immediate concern. I will make a statement soon. I'm heartbroken at this moment. My partners and I wanted this to be an amazing event. It was not a scam, as everyone is reporting. I don't know how everything went so left, but I'm working to make it right by making sure everyone is refunded. I truly apologize, as this is not my fault, but I'm taking responsibility. I'm deeply sorry to everyone who was inconvenienced by this. I think this is one of the best things I've ever read.
Did you read the dude wrote this thing? I don't know who, as far as New York Times or something, but like who worked with the festival for a few weeks or whatever.
And yeah, well, they didn't make him sign an NDA, right?
Yeah. So he's just like, this shit was doomed from the start.
I just loved everything, like seeing like what it was supposed to be. One of my favorite things I saw about it is people were expecting to see Ja Rule, and instead they got Ashanti Town.
That's so
it showed like the tent, so I was like, oh, it's a pretty good one. But they just like the photos from it, like the food was one of my favorite things.
Oh my god.
Someone referred to them as prison sandwiches.
That's like worse than like a regular music festival food. Like that sandwich.
You had to pay like a decent amount extra for that stuff, too, for like the catering.
It's like thousands of dollars.
It's amazing. Like it really is. It could not have happened to a worse group of people too. So
I didn't know what it was. I just saw it was trending on Friday or whatever, and it's like, what is this? And I heard about this travesty that everybody was living through, and it's like, oh man, this is terrible. And then I read more about what it was supposed to be, and it's like, I feel less bad about this now.
No, Ja Rule is a true comrade. He's taking the bourgeoisie and he's, you know, quarantining them on an island to destroy them, and I appreciate that.
I the first thing I saw was it's the Hunger Games for real, and I was like, what the fuck is happening? And then I heard Ja Rule was organizing. He's like, is Ja Rule hunting and murdering millennials? And I don't think that's the case, but I'm still not convinced.
Also, I think from what I remember reading this, Kendall Jenner was paid $250,000 to promote this. Maybe that's where all their money went.
That is incredible. My theory currently is that this was a promotional stunt and they're going to come back next year and have it be even bigger and better than this ever was going to be.
I'm going to see what, like, who the scheduled acts were supposed to be at this.
It was like, there were some major people, like Blink-182, obviously.
I know, Blink-182 canceled.
Major Lazer was supposed to be there. There's one other artist who, like, was a big name, but I can't remember who it is now. But those two stuck out.
This is a story from March 7th.
This is the story of a girl.
By Billboard.
Oh, that'd be a
Fire Festival adds Lil Yachty, Migos, and Blink-182 to lineup. So, I mean, that's, you got Migos there, and Lil Yachty, those are some pretty heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Previously announced acts include The Good Music Family, Major Lazer, and a DJ set from Disclosure.
Disclosure, that's the other one, yeah. That's, I am amazed by this entire thing. I can't even wrap my mind around what happened.
It's incredible. It's one of those stories that every new thing that comes out about it just adds a new layer of like hilarity to it.
Yeah. I wish I had been there. My favorite thing though is about this whole story is how they keep being every story about it is like, it's a music festival for like Instagram models and influencers, and influencers is always in quotes because it's like, that's not a real thing.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, people that put like CEO at getting money on their as their job on Facebook, like those people,
or their middle name. I have a friend on Facebook who one of their whole name is two different like words, or like seven words, but like all scrunched together so it looks like a name. And I think it's their last name is Back to the Old Me. I don't know why. I don't know why somebody would do that. It's stupid.
They're back on their bullshit.
Apparently, I don't know.
They tried, they really did, but they're back on their bullshit.
Whatever. Anyway, so Fyre Festival is a disaster, and we'll keep an eye on it, I think.
I just thought it was relevant, especially because it was like
hot people on the island.
It was forced Survivor. Like.
Yeah, basically. Did you see that one thing that was like Jeff Probst looking at like standing next to the immunity idol, just kind of smirking? It was like me reading about Fyre Festival, and he's just like, yeah. I was like, "That's good. Jeff Probst is a good guy." If Jeff Probst had organized
Fyre
Festival,
imagine doing the stuff on Survivor, but you had to pay $12,000 to go there.
I honestly, if I had that kind of money, I wouldn't be opposed to doing that. To going to a tropical island and going through like obstacle courses and hanging out with Jeff Probst. I think that's a fine weekend.
That's because you're a fucking sucker, Jake.
Yeah, well, you know, sue me. Sue me, sue Ja Rule, sue Kendall Jenner. I don't think she had anything to do with this, but sue her anyway. That's all I've got to say about that. Anyway, did you watch Survivor last night?
I did.
So this week's episode was called A Line Drawn in the Concrete.
Another Debbie title.
That's three Debbie quotes in 4 weeks from Debbie. Jeff, I don't know, man. I think you've been out of the game too long or something, but there are people better
than... You gotta put your foot down on this one, bud. You can't...
You know what? I'm thinking... I understand why they brought Debbie back. Because she is very good at narrating in an amusing fashion what is happening in the show. It's the same reason they bring Donald Bananas back to the challenge all the time. He has done this so long that he knows how to get his talking heads in the episode, and I think Debbie knows the same thing. So she says shit like a line drawn in the concrete, and they're like, there we go, it's the episode title. But it's a bad episode title. If I had been editing this episode, here's some better episode titles I would have used. Small Windows of Opportunity. That's a good episode title. Or, alternately, Grade A Liar. That's a good episode title. Jeff?
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. I when I saw this title, and like when I heard her say it, I was like, you know what? And I think that actually does deserve to be the title this time around.
I don't know. It's just so many titles that are not clever, which was not a very clever way of describing.
Line in the concrete was kind of clever. It's like even stronger than line in the sand,
I guess. Yeah, I don't love it. I think I'm just wishing for better titles so everyone looks bad. That's my opinion.
I'm just a big fan of anyone saying the words line in the sand because it makes me think of the Evolution theme, the best theme in the history of wrestling, so...
Okay. Anytime I think of Evolution... Oh, God. I was just thinking, let's not talk about wrestling. Let's veer away from wrestling talk, and then immediately started talking about wrestling again.
I will never stop going in specifically talking about wrestling.
Let's not, though. Is Payback tonight?
Who is that screaming?
to shut up about wrestling. Show yourself coward. I will never stop talking about wrestling.
Is Payback tonight? Should I be watching?
I believe it is.
There's something in me that knows without ever looking at a calendar when a WWE event is. It's just a feeling I get when I wake up on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's just like intuition.
It's tonight. Yes.
The wrestling fan's intuition.
All right. So we start off at camp, and Debbie believes that she and Brad and Troyzan and Ty, Sarah and Sierra are a strong six. Then Zeke and Andrea talk about her vote for him, but the conversation doesn't really go anywhere. Then Sarah tells Zeke that they should take out Andrea next.
Zeke's looking for some payback of his own.
Because of the WWE.
Yes.
Speaking of Zeke, how many episodes in to this season are we? 7? 8? Something like that?
Yeah, I think 8.
We have not once called Zeke the Zekrit. And I feel like that's a crime.
Well, we've called him the Zekrit before, but I'm happy to do it again.
Yeah, let's start doing that again. The Zekrit.
Love the Zekrit.
I don't know, man.
Love that boy.
I feel like after his outing, everybody was like, he's going to be on the Heroes Tribe, season 40. I think this dude's going to be on the Villains Tribe. I see a little villainous nature in this boy.
Yeah, he's a very conniving player.
Yeah.
I like that about him.
Yeah, I don't trust him. I don't want to see him succeed. I'm sorry. I don't like him. I've changed my tune on Zeke, on the Zekrit. Sorry, buddy. Sorry, Buzzy.
Don't you dare talk about my man that way.
Then we get into the reward challenge. They split into two teams of five, meaning one person has to sit out. There are 11 people left. The teams are Brad, Debbie, Sierra, Andrea, and Aubrey versus Ceri, Sarah, Zeke, Troyzan, and Ty, which means Michaela sits out.
I get that you're going kind of by alliances, but at the same time, like, how fucking stupid are you that you don't, like, pick one of the younger people to do this?
Because people don't like Michaela for whatever reason.
Like, eventually there's a moment that's gotten out of this, but, like, why would you... You're not going to win if you have Ceri.
Well, it was a schoolyard pick. Brad was one of the people. Was Ceri the other person who was a captain?
Oh, maybe Ceri was the other captain.
If that's the case, that would explain why she got picked over Michaela, but...
Regardless.
Like, yeah. I believe you mean irregardless.
Sorry.
So Michaela has...
She should have been there.
She should have been there in place of Debbie, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
So Michaela sits out, but underneath the bench she's sitting on, there is a secret advantage, which says on it, secret advantage.
Secret advantage. How secret is it if it's visible and it says secret advantage? It would be a secret advantage if it said not secret.
This is not a secret advantage. This is nothing. It's just a roll that says this is nothing. A roll, like a bread roll.
As you were. No need to look at this.
Don't look inside this parchment.
Nothing to see here.
This is not. Don't even worry about it. It's like not even a thing. It's just all written on there. What if, like, they just had to pick up every stick and then give them to Jeff and be like, is this anything? And then eventually Jeff would be like, this is the correct stick. You won Survivor.
You found my secret stick. Here's $1 million. I thought I hit it real good, but you found it okay.
Good job. Here's $1 million to you, my son. Also, I'm your dad now.
I'm your legal guardian.
That's one thing they don't tell you about Survivor, is yes, you win $1 million, but also Jeff Ropes has to be your dad now, and also you have to kill your original dad.
Yeah, you have to kill your original dad. Prove your love to your new dad.
I'm your new dad now, because you won Survivor. Meet all of your siblings. They also won Survivor. I am the world's greatest dad. Call me Robin Williams. This is a movie. No, Robin Williams was in. It's good. You should watch it. So Jeff asks Michaela what she thinks of the teams, and she says people are picking alliance members rather than people to help them win. I don't get it. Michaela, smart lady.
like her. So they have to run through a net in the water and then a balance beam. And by the time Sari gets to the obstacles, she has trouble getting up on the first one. So Sarah, who had already completed the obstacle portion of the challenge, jumps back into the water, meaning she has to do them again. And she helps Sari through the obstacles. And that's very nice. But Brad's team wins. Good job, Brad's team.
If Sari was one of the captains, it seems incredibly unfair to have one of the captains of a team be Brad and the other one be Sari.
Yeah.
Like, professional athlete.
Versus woman who has admitted that before this show, she just sat on the couch. I think it must have been random. You would think. I don't know. They never show.
Maybe.
I wish that they would show us the schoolyard pick. I think that would be so much fun to watch. To be like, you, 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 not you. It'd be good. It'd be so dramatic. And they could fill an episode.
I get why you would edit around it for the normies, but for a hardcore fan such as myself, I want to see that schoolyard pick.
I love sports, and I love people being disappointed. So Survivor's a perfect show for me. So Sarah helps Sari through the obstacles, and it's real nice. Brad's team wins the challenge, but Jeff tells Sari that they will wait with her and support her as she completes the obstacles, and that's real nice. I keep getting updates on this Tigers game. Like, in the last 5 minutes, they've scored like 3 or 4 times, and it's a big, big, exciting moment in sports history. Let's continue talking about Survivor.
I'm excited as this episode goes along for you to see them allow like 6 runs.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well.
They're so disappointing. I hate. Remember when I was like, I love sports and people being disappointed? I'm the people disappointed.
Yeah, never get you. Like, I don't understand. This has been the way it's been for like the last 3 seasons. Like, just do not invest yourself in this. They will let you down.
Hashtag. Okay. The new hashtag for the show, fire Jeff Osmus. What's his name? Brad Osmus? Fire him. Get him out of there. He's bad at his job.
Osmus on Survivor.
It's not bad, actually.
He'd probably be a pretty good Survivor contestant.
A few years ago, I think it was the same season Cliff Robinson was on, the owner or manager of the Marlins was on. But he got...
Oh, wait, Jeffrey DeLoria?
I don't think so. It was somebody else. It might not have been the Marlins also. It might have been a different team. But it was
Hopefully it wasn't the Marlins, because that guy's a giant piece of shit. So.
It was a baseball team. I think it was in Florida.
Why does the owner of a baseball team need to be on there?
I don't know. He got voted out first, though.
Good. Yeah, they don't need that money.
So as they head to the boat, the people who didn't win the challenge, as they head back to the boat to get to camp, Sarah notices the secret advantage and snags it from Michaela's bench. It was supposed to be Michaela's advantage.
I was bummed that Michaela did not get it, but I like Sarah, so I was happy that Sarah got it.
I don't think Sarah is long for this world of Survivor Game Changers. And I'll tell you why when we get to the end of the episode. Back at camp, Sari talks about not giving up no matter what because she's a survivor. She's going to make it. Other lyrics to that Destiny's Child song. It's been a while since I've listened.
Never give up. John Cena.
That's the one. That's a great lyric from Destiny's Child Survivor in 1999.
I thought so.
Sarah reveals her advantage, and it says that she gets to steal a vote at a tribal council. And she says, in the past, these votes have not been used correctly. I will be the first one to use this correctly. She sounds pretty confident about that, which is not a good sign for her.
Granted, I'm almost glad Michaela didn't get it.
Right, because it's like a guarantee out if she got that. It's like, oh, fuck, I stole a vote and voted for myself. Why did I do that? So back at the reward, they take an airplane to go do some shit. And Debbie tells us that she's a big fan of airplanes. That quote has nothing to do with the rest of the episode. I just thought it was so funny that she felt she needed to tell us that. I'm a big fan of airplanes.
The airplane appreciator has logged on.
Brad tells us that he left Troy, Zan, and Sarah to be the eyes and ears for his alliance back at camp, because he doesn't want the five to contaminate his six. Oh, that's not really how an alliance breaks up, Bradley, but I understand what you're meaning. And then Sierra, who apparently is the queen of this season. Oh, by the way, I took a BuzzFeed quiz, which Survivor contestant I am. I got Sierra. And I didn't feel great about that because I am not rooting for her. You know who I'm rooting for? Do you know?
Is it Michaela?
It's Michaela, yeah. She's my number one. Michaela, Troy, Zan. And that's about it. Suri, I guess.
I would love Michaela to get to the final three, but I also, like, I just have a feeling that the jury is not going to be in her favor if she does.
I don't think
which
so.
Which is unfair.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. If she makes a really big move late in the game, then I think people will come over to her side. But so far, she's just kind of stood around. Which is...
Yeah, she hasn't really had an opportunity to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, the last game that she was on, she had the ability to sort of, you know, take charge.
Yeah, and she doesn't this time around because she's playing with some very good players.
It's harder to do that it's harder to do that when you're with a bunch of experienced players.
Yeah.
They've never seen you before.
I think her attaching herself to Suri was a very good idea because, here's my theory, I don't know if we talked about this last week or the week before. I think Michaela will eventually vote out Suri. When there's like four or five people left, I think Michaela could do that.
If she makes it there, I think she would do that, yeah.
I would not be at all surprised. I know that she was like, two black women have never made it to the finals. That's true. Also, I looked it up. I looked through every single cast. They have barely ever even had two black women on a season together.
Yep, this is not surprising to me.
So this is the deepest that two black women have made it in a season ever. So, like, that's an accomplishment. So I can understand why they would want to keep each other around, because that would be very good. But I can also understand the temptation to vote somebody like that out.
Yeah. Ultimately, you've got to do what's best for your game. I had a point, and it's gone now.
It's all right.
I didn't jump in quick enough.
That's okay. Where were we? Sierra says, I can confidently say I don't think life can get any better than it is today. I feel like this six is super strong.
That is a mistake. Sentence.
She was right in the first part of that sentence. Life can't get better than it is that day.
Best it was going to get.
You won the reward. Your alliance seems strong. The only option for you is failure at this point. You can't keep riding that high. Survivor doesn't plateau for anyone, except Jeff.
Nope.
Jeff shot up to the stratosphere in 2000.
At the top, always.
He has stayed there. So back at camp, Sarah talks to Suri, who tells her that... in the final three, Suri tells Sarah that she doesn't stand a chance against Brad and Sierra in the final three. And Sarah's like, interesting. So, you know, that shit happens. Then we have an immunity challenge. They have to stack blocks, spelling out the word immunity, while balancing the table that they're stacking the blocks on. I'm having a real tough time talking today, Thomas. I'm sorry. It comes down to Brad, Troy, Zan, and Andrea at the end. And guess what? Troy, Zan won.
That's true. Meaning that Troy, Zan could not be voted out. So there goes that for me.
Sierra says, luckily, one of my six won, so we can choose... who goes home. Sierra, no, that's not how this works. You should know better than that.
That's the best possible Survivor thing to be like, well, we did it. I'm just going to sit back and just assume everything's going to go fine. Like, like the other people aren't going to be maneuvering like hell to try and do stuff. Especially right now when the numbers are still kind of close.
Yeah,
All they have to do is flip one person.
Right. They, it's such a bad look to sit and relax between immunity and tribal council. Because it's, like, so suspicious. Like, there was a season, I think it was last season, there was an episode. Dave, like, had a hidden idol or something, and he was going to play it. So he was relaxed, and somebody looked at him like, why is he so calm?
Yep.
And, yeah. So, Sierra, also not long for this world. Who's going to win? Andrea, probably. That's what I'm saying. Third time, a charm. That's the phrase.
Third time is certainly a charm.
Third time, a charm. Back at camp, Troy Zant says, the immunity challenge on a scale of 1 to 10 was an 11 because I won. Troy Zant is great. I love him so much.
Good old Island Lapidus.
Yes, he is.
As opposed to the other Island Lapidus.
Who is also on an island. Do you think he's still on that island, Lapidus? No, he died. Right, everybody died on that show. I kind of forgot about that. Except Hurley.
He died from shame at the quality of the submarine party that he went to.
Worst submarine party I've ever been to. I don't think we've ever explained that joke, and I don't think we ever will.
I never will. Never.
If you want to understand that joke, go back to one of our lost parties in the mid-2000s, where we would stay up all night and watch the previous season of Lost, and it was fucking great, and I don't know, we can never do that again.
I don't think that's true. It would be hard for us to do it, but...
Well, yeah, because all of those friends are all over the country now, and we'll probably don't want to do that, because we're all adults now who have responsibilities.
Man.
Me and you can do it. If you want. If you don't, then that's fine, too.
Cool, okay.
Anyway. So everybody finds Michaela incredibly annoying, but Brad wants to take out Andrea. And then the Major Alliance tells Sarah that they're going to vote out Andrea, and she realizes they made the plan without me. It might be time to make my move. Then she approaches Zeke and says, do you think Brad or Sierra is the right move? Because we can make a move. And Zeke says, I'm always ready to make a move. That's my Zeke impression. I'm always ready to make a move. Let me hear your Zeke impression. Say the words, I'm always ready to make a move, in your best impression of the Zeke.
I'm always ready to make a move.
No, that's not great. This is what he sounds like. He goes, I'm always ready to make a move.
It's not quite, it's a little too affected to be Solid Snake, but that's immediately what I thought of. It's just like,
I'm always ready to make a move. I'm always ready to make a move. My name's Zeke, I'm always ready to make a move.
Commander, I'm always ready to make a move. Metal Gear.
The Zeke is not excited to work with Andrea again, but is willing to for this vote. Andrea says to Sarah, I want to work with you and the Zeke. And Sarah says, oh, I know the secret. He's always ready to make a move.
You're really trying hard to make this a thing, and it's not happening.
That's what he sounds like. That's his voice. It's a very deep, gruff voice because of all the violence he's been through in the army. That's why he's always ready to make a move.
Zeke is a troop.
Zeke is a troop. Respect. Support your
troops. Am I crazy for thinking that if the troops put together a survivor tribe, they could dominate the entire game?
You could. It would be the first time ever that there were multiple winners in one season. Like, all of the troops, you win. Good job. Here's $1 million.
They wouldn't even, they'd start yet. Jeff would be like, and troops versus civilians. And the troops win.
The troops win automatically. Welcome to the island. The troops have won the game. Support your troops.
Salute the troops.
I love the troops. My name's Jeff Probst. Welcome to America. Are you guys ready to make a move? That's what Jeff asks them, and all the normies are like,
John
I'm ready.
John Cena rappels out from a helicopter.
My name's John Cena, and I support the troops.
I love these troops. I love these troops. They have a lot of and then he looks into the camera.
That's the show. I hey, my name's John Cena.
What if Jeff Probst was doing, you know, was like reading stuff, and out of nowhere, John Cena appeared and AA'd him and was like, I'm hosting the show now. The ultimate swerve.
I imagine when John Cena helicoptered onto the beach, he looked at all the troops and was like, troops, I appreciated how you hustled onto the beach, and I like how you're loyal to this country, and I respect that you're playing Survivor. My name's John Cena. And then he lifts back up into the helicopter, and his theme plays backwards. And Jeff Probst rises from the dead and says, I'm the host again.
Oh, man. I love this. This scenario is amazing.
Where were we?
All right. So do you want to get to Tribal Council?
I mean, a lot of shit happens before Tribal Council, my friend. We're barely in.
Oh, yeah. Well, did we get to the point where Sarah, Debbie was like telling weird lies about her to somebody? What was it?
Yes, we're not there yet. First, Sierra says, forming relationships is really important in this game, and me and Sarah are really close. I feel really confident in Sarah. Stupid thing to say. Sierra, oh my God, why are you not listening to this podcast? We have one piece of advice for Survivor players. Never, ever, 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 ever say that you're confident.
It's the one rule.
So while sitting on a beach with Sarah, Sierra tells her that she's planning on it being the two of them and Debbie in the final three. And Sarah's like, ooh, interesting idea. Then Debbie tells Aubrey is her name, like the cheese, Aubrey cheese. It's bad. She tells Aubrey that they're voting Michaela, and then she tries to butter up Aubrey and tries to get her to vote the way that Debbie wants her to. And says, you're not stupid. And Aubrey kind of raises her eyebrows like, what? Does she actually think that this will work?
Also, like with Aubrey, it's like, I've played with you before.
Yeah, I know your shit. And then Debbie says to the camera, I need Aubrey to think I'm her best friend, and I think it's working.
No.
No.
Like, what?
Then, well, picking up sticks, Aubrey kind of Jim Halperts into the camera. She's like, you know, the Jim Halpert face.
She did the Halpert face because she found the stick that gives her the $1 million.
Mm, my name's Jim Halpert. I just won $1 million. Thanks, stick.
She was doing the Rashida Jones doing an impression of Jim.
Then she goes to Michaela and Sarah and tells the both of them what Debbie said. And then calls her a grade A liar. True. She literally is. And then, just give me one second. Sarah says that she's going to decide how to vote at Tribal. But Thomas, before we get into Tribal Council, we got to talk about some wildlife shots. I don't know why I did that. There was no John Cena in this episode of Survivor.
Some wildlife shots.
So there's an iguana, of course. Can't go through an episode without an iguana. Heron, of course. They've become the new Roland the Bat, I think, iguanas and herons. Then there was something that kind of looked like a stork, but also might have just been the heron again. Then there were some crabs. A snake, of course, and I believe a silver tip shark. You want me to tell you about the silver tip shark?
I would love to hear about this shark.
It's a good one. It is most often found around offshore islands and reefs. It can get up to 10 feet in length, but is generally about 6.5 to just over 8 feet long. Excuse me. They are considered dangerous to humans because they will get very close to divers. And when they feel a diver is getting too close to them, they'll perform a threatening performance, I guess is what it's called. I don't know. They accelerate up to a distance of 49 feet, and then they will turn and charge at the perceived threat. And then at a distance of 2 body lengths, so probably about 20 feet or so, they break, turn broadside, drop its pectoral fins, gape their jaws, lower their posterior 2/3 of their body, and shiver.
Wow.
Yeah. And then if the diver doesn't surrender,
I don't think the shark realizes what is intimidating about it. This'll really get them.
They're gonna be so scared of this shivering. It's so chilly down here. Don't you want to leave?
Like, the only possible reaction to that is, oh shit, a shark's coming at me. What the hell?
What is it doing? If the diver doesn't surrender, the shark may slash at it with its upper teeth. It's a weird shark. I like it though.
I'm into this shark.
I kind of like it a lot.
I'm into this passive aggressive shark.
It's very territorial. Also, that's one of the things I learned. They are considered vulnerable on the endangered list. So.
I don't like that.
Here's one of the most interesting facts I learned about the silver-tip shark. Juveniles often occupy coastal shallows and lagoons, while adults prefer deeper waters, and the two age groups rarely mix. Isn't that weird?
It's a little weird.
And they will often approach ships because they are attracted to low-frequency sounds. It's incredible.
I imagine one of those sharks getting pulled over, like, you know, when, like, the fumes wafting off of a pie in, like, an old cartoon will, like, lift someone off their feet and drag them to it. I just imagine that, but with sound waves. Like, yeah. Ooh, low-frequency sound.
I like it. Mm. Just, like, hanging out near these ships. It's great. All right, let's get into this tribal council. The Z-Crit calls out the Majority Alliance by name, each one of the six of them. Andrea says that she heard they were voting Michaela, but if the Alliance was smart, they would leak false information. See, Andrea? She's a smart one. Mr. Grinch. Sarah says, can you blame us for being secure? Debbie says, is perception reality? Well, it is. We have a six that has a very accurate perception of themselves. Debbie... You cannot be this confident not even halfway through the game. Like, maybe if you're, like, Final Four and also have the immunity necklace, you can be confident that you're secure in your alliance. But there's 11 people left and you only have 6 people on your side? Bad. That's bad. There's no... It's stupid to be so confident. Troyzan says, if you're smart enough to get yourself to 6, take it. And then Michaela says... We all know who's running the show. You can either accept it or do something about it while you have the numbers. See?
Very good.
Michaela, well, she doesn't do much in the episode, does know what's going on. And I wish she had a better edit. I have a good feeling about Michaela, even though she's just kind of sat around so far this season. But,
well, not a good enough feeling to pick her when we got to the merge.
You know
but...
what? I had a pretty good feeling about Haley, and I realize now that that was a mistake. Haley is a bad player, and she should never play Survivor again. Just kidding, she's a pretty good player. She should come back also. Let's see. So they vote, and the votes are Andrea, Debbie, Andrea, Debbie, Andrea, Debbie, Andrea, Debbie, Andrea, Debbie, Debbie. Which means Sarah switched her vote. So Debbie's out. Finally,
the one week I don't pick her to be out is the one.
It's like when we were picking for Are You the One, and I was like, Cam and Eddie. I'm telling you, Cam and Eddie, perfect match. And then the one week I didn't pick them to be a perfect match, they were.
That's how it works.
They're listening. They're listening to our podcast, which, like, thank you. But also, can you give me the points that I'm asking for? You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm still. Probably pretty comfortable.
You're pretty speaking confident.
I didn't say that. Speaking of points, let's get into it.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about these points. I won 0 points this week.
I'm sorry, how many was that?
A big old goose egg. 0. It was no points. No points at all. No points for
what
me.
How many points did I win?
You won 2 points. The Z-Crit survived the episode. Sierra was on the winning reward team. So you now have 24 points and I have 15. So you're sitting pretty, bud. Good job. I think you won already.
I mean, we'll find out, I guess.
There were no...
I don't want to get too confident about this.
No, you shouldn't. Do you want to predict the next episode's occurrences, or do you want to hear some facts that I put together for this? No, we're now halfway through the cast. There's 10 people left. 10 people have been voted out. Do you want to hear some how people are doing versus their previous seasons?
Sure.
All right. So 10 people left. The worst you can do at this point is 10th place. Andrea placed 5th in her first season and 7th in her second season. Aubrey took 2nd her first time. Oh, that was the season where she lost to Michelle. You remember that? Do you remember when that happened?
Nope. Don't recall. I remember her winning because she deserved to.
But she didn't. Michelle won that season. Ty took 3rd place that season. Michaela took 14th her season, so she has improved. Zeke took 9th, so if he makes it through this next episode, he will have improved. Brad took 15th in Blood vs. Water his first season, so he has also improved. I think he is the worst performer of their first season. I think he took the worst place. Suri took 4th in Panama, 3rd in Micronesia, and 17th in Blood vs. Water. Not Blood vs. Water, Hero vs. Villain, sorry. Sarah took 11th in Cagayan, so she has made it through. She has now improved on her previous game. Troyzan took 8th in One World, and Sierra took 5th. So, you know, I'm thinking it's going to be I bet it's going to be these three people who have improved on their game in the final three. Brad, Michaela, and Sarah. I wouldn't be surprised to see those three in the final three.
Didn't you just say that Sarah was going to get voted off soon?
Sarah is playing a dangerous game being in the middle like this. She's like 2 or 3 episodes in the middle now, which as soon as somebody realizes that from either side, she's out. And she's got that vote stealer, which is a bad thing.
So, okay, so she's out, but also she's going to finish in 3rd.
Yep, exactly.
Or in the final 3.
You got it exactly right. She's going to make it to the final 3 and then be medically evacuated. She'd be like, what do I do? How do I steal this vote? Dr. Joe, I'm going to steal a vote from you. And he's like, I don't play the game. He's like, stop talking. Good bit. Hey, have you watched any of Ponderosa?
No,
you're missing out.
I have not.
Everybody's having a real good time. Haley's making some art. Ozzy is hanging out. Debbie is also there now. And at one point, Haley poured herself a bottle of water. Guess what brand of water it was?
What?
Fiji. Because they're in Fiji.
Yep, that's pretty good.
All right. Now, here's the information that might help you in your predictions in the future. Everybody's percentage voting-wise. Do you want to hear it? Nobody has voted correctly every time anymore. Andrea has...
Not even Krabs.
Not even Krabs. Do you want to talk about that?
Where the crabs have voted correctly 80% of the time.
I accidentally deleted a bunch of my notes while putting this together last night. And it said crabs 80%. That's not right. Crabs haven't voted in one tribal council. Andrea has voted correctly 3 of her 5 times at tribal, so 60%. Aubrey has voted 4 of 7 times correctly, 57% failing. Brad, 4 out of 5. Suri has voted correctly only 1 time of her 3 times at tribal, but one of those times that she got wrong, she voted for Michaela intentionally incorrectly. So that's something to keep in mind. Michaela, 4 out of 7. Sarah, 4 out of 5. Sarah, Sierra, Ty, and Troyzan all have voted correctly 4 out of 5 times, and the secret, 60%, 3 out of 5 times. So nobody's at 100% anymore, except us, because we voted zero times.
This is true.
So, let's get into predictions now. Who will win the reward next week?
I'd say Ty's going to win a reward.
I'm going to say Michaela's going to win a reward. Why not? I mean, they're still doing the team thing, so it's 50-50 chance. Probably. I'm not good at math. What'll be at the reward? Food, drink, activity.
Sticking with ice cream, man.
You know what? I picked cookies last week. There were no cookies of the food they ate, but there were brownies. So I rewatched the scene like three times. Like, there must be cookies on this table somewhere, but there weren't.
Nope.
So I'm going to go with potato salad popped into my head, but that's not right. There's not going to be potato salad.
I mean, they already did the picnic, so.
Yeah. Okay, reward. I think it's going to be burgers this week. I think they're going to have some burgers.
You know what? I'm changing mine.
You're from ice cream, but you've been so... Watch you change it, and this week it'll be ice cream.
Yeah, watch. There will be ice cream this time, but I'm going to say fried chicken.
Ooh, yeah, good choice. Who's going to win immunity, though? Is right. Who is it going to be?
It's tough to pick from this group.
There's only 10 people left. One of them is going to win immunity, and it's not going to be Jeff Probst. He has automatic immunity because he's the host of the show, so he could never be voted out until he plays for real, which he will never do. He has gone on record and saying, I will never play Survivor. Just like Ryan Devlin. What is it about TV hosts who don't want to play Survivor? Who's going to win immunity, Thomas?
I'm going to say that Aubrey wins immunity.
I'm going to go in and say Michaela, going all Michaela this week. Michaela's going to win the reward. She's going to win immunity.
She's going to get eliminated.
She's going to be like, I'm going to give this immunity to Sari because I love her so much. And then they're like, that was stupid. Bye. No, she's not going to get voted out, but she is going to win immunity. Who's going to be voted out? Who's it going to be? Another thing I wrote down but didn't mention. There's two people left now from Ko Rong and two people left from Millennials vs. Gen X. And those are the only two seasons with multiple people left. Everybody else is from different seasons. And there's only two people left who have played more than twice. Andrea has played three times. Sari has played four times now. Everybody else has played twice.
Who all voted for Debbie this week?
Who all voted for Debbie? It would be Andrea, Aubrey, Sari, Michaela, Sarah, and Zeke. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it going to be one of them?
I'm thinking the way this usually goes is you flip back and forth, but at the same time, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to say Sierra gets eliminated.
That would be amazing. Yeah, she doesn't. Oh, she has what's it called? Legacy advantage.
Oh, she has the legacy, but she can only use that for certain rounds.
Yeah, she could use it at 13 or 6, I think, and 13 has passed, so she can't use it now. She'll probably give it to Brad. You're saying Sierra? I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go with Brad. Let's break up this alliance.
Okay.
It's going to be one of them. Thomas, now that we've gone through all of Survivor, I got to tell you about the challenge. We're in the finals now. Corey is in the finals again.
Good.
CT is in the finals. Did you know CT's on this season?
I did not know that.
Well, he's in the finals. Camilla is also in the finals, and then some other people you don't know. So, missing out. But here's the big info about the challenge that came out this week. Hey, did you hear about this?
I didn't.
You read this? You hear about this? They're doing a spin-off miniseries starting in May that is called The Challenge, Champs vs. Pros, where they are pitting champions of the challenge against legitimate pro athletes.
Hell yeah. I am all for this.
Victor Cruz, the football player, is going to host it, which I guess is good, but also is bad because it's not TJ.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Who have they announced any of the pro athletes that are on it?
They have announced all of the pro athletes who are going to be on it. They have announced nobody from the challenge who's going to be on it, but they've announced all of the pro athletes.
Who are these pros are?
Tia Blanco, the surfer. Luis Hazel, who is an Olympian and fitness expert. I've never heard of that person. Lindsay Jacobellis, the snowboarder. Lolo Jones.
Sure.
Candace Wiggins, the WNBA player. Gus Kenworthy, the skier. Sean Merriman. Louis Vito.
Former linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Louis Vito, the snowboarder. Camarion Wimbley from the NFL.
Oh, Camarion Wimbley, Camarion, yeah.
Okay. And rounding it out, one CM Punk.
What?
Yep. CM Punk's going to be on the challenge.
What?
Yep. Yeah. Starts May 16th.
All right. Well, obviously we're watching this.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to start as soon as the season of the challenge ends. It'll start the next week. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if it's going to be like they all live in a house together and party and all that, or if it's going to be like Spring Break Challenge was, 7 years ago or whatever, whenever that was on, or it's just like, you know, the challenges and that's it. But yeah, we're going to watch that. I wish they had announced who the champions are going to be, but I assume one of them will be whoever wins this season.
I just want to see CM Punk do a GTS to Jonald Bananas.
I know Jonald Bananas is going to be on there, and I'm not looking forward to it. But it's going to be crazy. I'm so excited.
Man, that's nuts.
Yeah. All right. So, last week we tried to get Allen Iverson on Survivor. I don't think it happened. I don't think he's on.
Surfiverson.
Surfiverson? Did you say Survivor? Like five?
Yeah.
Because, why?
Surfiverson deal.
Are you saying five, like the number five?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the five, remember the Fiverson deal?
Oh, I thought we were pronouncing it Survivorson deal, like Survivor.
Oh, that's fine too. The Survivorson
deal.
See,
this is a mix up communication.
This is exactly why we have to retire this hashtag.
It's just, how do you spell it? It's the same issue we had with Milicic on Survivor. So we gotta come up with something new. Who are we getting on Survivor? Ashley I never got on Survivor. Jonald Bananas, not on Survivor. Ryan Devlin, rudely decided against being on Survivor. Darko Milicic, unfortunately, racist hashtag. So we can't continue with that one.
Nope, that one's done.
You know, miscommunication, not getting him on Survivor. So who is going to be our new person on Survivor?
The new hashtag is hashtag Reef on Survivor. We're trying to get former NBA All-Star Sharif Abdur-Rahim on there.
Reef on Survivor. Hashtag Reef on Survivor. Hey, here's something. More like Reefer on Survivor. 420, bro. You get it? Millennials versus Gen X, too. All stoners all the time. Just kidding. Reef on Survivor. How do you spell that? Just so we don't run into a Survivorson. Reefonsurvivor. I could be in an immunity challenge.
Hashtag. Yep. Hashtag on Survivor.
Nope. That's not what it is. That is not what the hashtag is. Do not use that one.
When you go on the island, you agree. You agree to follow directions.
Reef on Survivor, new hashtag. Let's get it going. Did he ever play for the Detroit Pistons?
He did not.
Well, at least he played in the NBA. You can follow us on Twitter for all of our hashtags, DYWSLN, or you can follow me at Jake Scheidel.
You can follow me at TomNotTom. Also follow at Year Before. We have a new episode up today. You should watch that too.
All right. We have an email if you want to email us. DidYouWatchLastNight@gmail.com. I don't think we're going to cover Champs versus Pros as a regular, like, focus show, because it's only going to be 6 weeks long, and we're going to get, like, Survivor this season is going to run, like, 2 or 3 weeks into Champs versus Pros. So it's pointless to cover it as our main focus, but I don't know what my point in telling you that was. But if you want us to cover something else after this season of Survivor, let us know. I think our number one thing is Are You the One Second Chances, which I've stopped watching since we decided we're going to cover it, and I am itching to catch up with it. Oh my God, Thomas, it's so good.
I too am excited for this.
It's going to be so good. When you email us, didyouwatchlastnight@gmail.com, sign it your pal Jeff Probst. Shoot us a review on iTunes so we can climb the charts, as they say. I hear other people.
Five stars only.
Obviously five stars. If you give us a one-star review, like, what are you fucking doing? We're not going to climb the charts with a one-star review. So fuck yourself
if you do that.
Shoot us a review. Five stars, please. And as we always say,
Until next time,
have a great summer.
Deuces. Stitch up the nets, but the couch won't stay. And the nail beds rest in the calico hay. The Fiji mermaid dressed in macrame is waiting. Wrote in the fork and a bend in the spoon. The turn cut short on the shadow at noon. Melting like wax in that once full moon. It's waning. There's sad sacks and insufferable bore. The sharp shots still at the heart. Girl.